Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. The homily this morning is based upon the Old Testament reading just read. Many interpreters of the book of Job have noted that the main topic of the book is that of suffering and pain. A small number of commentators, however, have suggested that the main topic of the book is that of the relationship between God, the Lord, and Job. The homily looks at the book of Job under the latter perspective, under the title, The Lord Counsels Job. At the beginning of the book of Job, the Lord describes Job as a person who is righteous in his sight. We would say that he was a believer in the Lord. The Lord permitted Satan to test Job. Satan took away his family, Job's fortune, and also his health. Job indicated his own faith, his belief in the resurrection of the body. "For I know that my Redeemer lives," he said, "and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh, or from my flesh, I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another." Job's so-called friends insisted that Job must have offended God by committing a grievous sin. Job, as a believer, knew that the Lord had forgiven all his sins and that the Lord was not punishing him for a specific sin or sins. But Job had his questions and moments of doubt. Job, together with his friends, were looking at the wrong answer. Job was looking at himself. Job's so-called friends insisted that, as I said, Job committed a grievous sin. Our text, however, begins an extended section in which the Lord counseled Job and his friends. The Lord got Job's attention by appearing in a whirlwind. The Lord then indicated that Job and his friends were wrong in their direction and in their discussion of Job's suffering and pain. The Lord did not directly address Job's suffering and pain. The Lord pointed to himself as the creator and as the one who is in control and was in control of nature. Job's problem was a spiritual one, not one of saving faith, but of confidence and trust in the Lord's creative and preservative power. Job's problem, we would say, was a first article of the creed problem. It is true, as emphasized by the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, that all three persons of the Holy Trinity participated in creation and control nature. The Apostle John said of Jesus, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. All things were made by him." The God-man Jesus Christ displayed his control of nature by the stilling of a storm, by raising people from the dead, and by healing people who were sick and diseased. According to Genesis, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, participated in creation. The Spirit was hovering over or brooding over the face of the waters, as Genesis 1 indicates. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess, "I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth." In the Nicene Creed, we confess, "I believe in one God, the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. As I was working on the text, I began to wonder why we do not set aside a specific day of the church entitled God the Father as Creator and Preserver Sunday. We have a special day set aside to commemorate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. 3 Sundays ago, we observed Pentecost in celebration of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the assembled disciples of Jesus. Justification is indeed the key doctrine of the sacred scriptures. However, a consideration of the Lord as creator and preserver can be useful in our moments of personal depression, doubt, and pain. The Lord, by calling Job's attention to his power in creation and preservation, was calling and leading Job to greater confidence and trust in the Lord's power and might in his daily life. We have about us SARS and the monkeypox virus. We hear about many serious accidents which occur almost daily. We read about and hear about storms, floods, earth tremors, tornadoes. Last night, they say, in southern Nebraska. Loved ones and friends get sick and die. We or our loved ones face so-called terminal illnesses. We do well on our part to remind ourselves that the Lord created us. He also recreated us through the water and the word of holy baptism. He sustains and preserves us in faith through his holy word and holy supper. This loving and forgiving Lord reminds us that he is in control of all things, even life and death. The Lord would lead us to such confidence and trust in his power as expressed by St. Paul when he wrote, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, who are called according to his purpose." When St. Paul was afflicted by what he called a thorn in the flesh, St. Paul wrote, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" We would do well on our part, regularly, to go back and to reread Genesis 1, as well as the creation Psalms. To him, to the Almighty Creator and Preserver, belong the power and glory. Amen.